The ascension of our Lord is the glorious conclusion of his earthly pilgrimage. It was the last action that he did in his life on earth. And it's a day of great joy and glory for him, as well as a day of joy for us too, because our Lord told his apostles that he was going to heaven in order to prepare a place for them. And we know that he is also preparing a place for each one of us that we will enjoy if we prove ourselves to be worthy of it. The gospel tells us today that our Lord conferred a great power on the apostles on this occasion, after which he went up into heaven. But first of all, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their slowness to believe. When they didn't believe the holy women who had seen our Lord rise from the dead. And he rebuked them about this today because he was about to send them as messengers into the whole world to teach all of the nations of the earth the gospel. And he wanted to strengthen their faith because they were supposed to go to other nations to tell other people to believe in things based only on their word and the miracles that they worked to prove that what they were saying was true. So they themselves had to have a very strong faith in order to convey that to others. At this point, our Lord conferred upon all of them the fullness of the apostolic mission. He gave them authority to go into the whole world to preach the gospel to every single creature, every human being. This was not the first time that our Lord had sent the apostles to preach, but when he had done this before, during his life, he had only told them to preach to the chosen people. He said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the cities of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That had been their only mission up to this point. But when our Lord died, he received all of the nations of the world as his inheritance. And now he gives the apostles a different mission, which is, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach all nations." And since our Lord commanded the apostles to do this, it follows that all nations likewise have an obligation to receive this teaching that our Lord commanded the apostles to teach. So our Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." So, contrary to the false ecumenism of the Vatican II Church, believing in the gospel, believing in the Catholic Church, is not something voluntary. It's not an ideal. It's not something that you can choose to reject or just say, "No, thank you. I already have a religion that I like perfectly well. I have a different religion." That is not an option. Christ said, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." And these words show us that without faith and baptism, we can't be saved. As far as baptism goes, if someone is not able to be baptized with water and they have the necessary dispositions, they can be saved by baptism of desire or of blood. That's the teaching of the church. But the obligation to believe, to have the virtue of faith in order to be saved, does not admit of any exception in people who have attained the use of reason. Obviously, people are not able to believe in anything before they have the use of reason. But from that point, only people who have the virtue of faith can be saved. And the faith can only be received from the preaching of the apostles or their successors. So people who say we can be saved by practicing any religion are in contradiction to the words of Christ. But it's not enough just to believe in order to be saved. We also have to live a virtuous life. We have to live according to our faith. St. James says that if we have faith, but we don't have good works or the practice of virtue, our faith is dead, and it will not lead us to heaven. Along with this command, our Lord promised the apostles that he would give them the power to work miracles in order to prove the truth of the faith. And all these things were fulfilled that our Lord said. On Pentecost, the apostles spoke in tongues, and many times after that too. Everyone understood them in their own language. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read that a poisonous snake bit St. Paul on the hand, and it didn't hurt him. St. John the Apostle was given a cup of poisoned wine, and he drank it without knowing that it was poisoned, and it didn't kill him. It didn't even make him sick. All of the apostles had the power to cure diseases and injuries. And in succeeding centuries after the apostles, there have been many, many saints who have had also the power of miracles, especially when they were necessary to spread the faith. Saint Francis Xavier brought the faith across India, across Asia, all the way to Japan. And God gave him the gift of miracles on a scale that had not been seen since the time of the apostles. He worked countless, innumerable miracles as he passed through those places throughout India in order to convert those poor pagans. And of course, he had also the gift of tongues in order to be able to communicate with all those different tribes of people in their own language. We see also the entire country of Bulgaria was converted to the faith when Saint Christina healed the child of the Queen of Bulgaria by her prayers, another miracle that brought about the conversion of an entire people. All of us, if we practice our holy faith, will work similar miracles, but in a spiritual sense. So the apostles had the power to cast demons out of people. In a similar way, when we receive the sacraments, when we obtain sanctifying grace, that drives the devil out of our souls. Just as the apostles spoke in tongues, in the same way, when someone begins to practice his holy faith, it's like he's given the gift of tongues because his conversation becomes good and holy and pure and full of love for his neighbor. And just as the apostles were able to drink poisonous drinks without being killed, in the same way every Catholic is able to imbibe the evil teachings of the world, and they don't hurt us because we are protected by God's grace from being deceived by the world's errors. On this day, our Lord ascended back into heaven where he came from. He ascended off of Mount Olivet. And this is the same place where he suffered his most terrible humiliation. It's where he suffered the terrible agony in the garden. So it was fitting that this would be the place where he would be exalted above all of the creatures of the earth in his ascension. He was ascended into heaven and a cloud hid him from sight. And the apostles stood there staring up into heaven where he had disappeared. Until the angel came down and said, "Why are you standing here looking up into heaven?" But we should keep our eyes looking towards heaven too, just like the apostles did. In fact, the reason we fall into sin, the reason we don't advance in virtue the way we should, is because we spend almost all of our time looking around us here on earth. Instead of looking up into heaven, we spend our time looking around us to see what new material thing we want, looking at our reputation and what other people think about us, and even looking at things that gratify our senses with unlawful pleasures. But if we would keep our eyes fixed on heaven, like the apostles did, keeping our eyes fixed on our ultimate goal, our destination, we would make much more rapid progress towards it. And let us remember most of all The last thing that the angel said, he said that Christ would come back down again just as they had seen him going up in order to judge the living and the dead. If we would keep that thought in mind, it would keep us from sin, because we would always remember that all of our actions will be judged one day when our Lord comes back down onto Mount Olivet. Last of all, let us look at what it says in the gospel, that the Lord worked through the apostles, confirming the word that they preached with miracles. The reason the apostles were able to convert the whole world wasn't through their own efforts, but it was through the power of God working through them, not only working miracles, but also using their words to give his grace to others. It was God's grace that made their words bear fruit. In the same way, when we hear the word of God, whether preached to us in sermons or in our own spiritual reading or attending Mass or in any other way, we need to invoke the Holy Ghost to ask God to make those words bear fruit in us too. And when we try to convert others, we have to do the same thing. We have to pray to God that he will give that person the grace to accept the faith, rather than relying on our own efforts and our own persuasion. Let us keep our eyes always fixed on heaven, as the apostles did. And one day we will be there too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.